I'd like to share with you probably some familiar verses of Scripture, but God has given those to us for this particular day from Philippians chapter 3. And I would like to begin with verse 4. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. And would you please stand in reverence to the Lord as we read His word? Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As far as legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For those for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I think many of you may be able to bear witness with me on this, that we love to sit around, cup of coffee, you know, sit around the table, and just have conversations. We talk. And a huge percentage of that can be about the old days. You know, we are very good. I know I meet with some guys every morning. We have a cup of coffee together. Great guys. But so often the conversation, and I pay attention to it, so often the conversation can go about how it used to be. You know how things are today. Oh, my. But how wonderful everything was back here. Boy, we never used to whatever it is. Or we always used to. But I'll tell you, and the poor young folks today, you really take a hand. Oh, these kids today, they just don't this and they just don't that. And on it goes. I think about, in many ways, we might chuckle about that, but in many ways, how the past has an influence on us now. How much of the past just continually hangs on to us. And you know what, brothers and sisters, that is so true. In the positive or in the negative? We can look back and there's something that happened terrible way back yonder. And we just can't get past that. This happened in my life. It was a terrible, horrible experience. And that thing just lives on, and we can talk about it, or we bring it up, or even if we don't talk about it or bring it up, it goes on in here. It just kind of hangs with it, this back here, this thing. I can't believe this happened. Or it can be good things. Oh, you know, I remember back. Oh, that was so wonderful, and that was so good. And I'll tell you, that's how it should be done. I'll tell you what, that, whatever it was. And you know what? That goes on in the life of the church. It can, if we're not careful. The past. You know, I wonder, let's just talk about negative for a moment. You know, in the life of the church, let's face it. I love to sing the hymns. I love the opportunity to share God's word. I love to sit in a class and talk and share and laugh with classmates. I love to pray with others. But you know, there are things that happen in the life of the church that aren't so pleasant. People say things. People do things that are hurtful. Come on, we have to face that. In the life of the church, even in the life of the church, even with a cross on the building, there are things that can be said in a board meeting, in some kind of meeting, and somebody doesn't agree with this, and it can start and it can happen. And how many, even if something like that happened years ago, how many people still live there in their conversations? And if you would say, well, no, you know, just think with me for a moment. How many empty seats are there from people who are hanging on to something negative that happened in the past and they're not here now? Because you know what? 18 years ago, I was in a service one day, and you know what so-and-so said to me? I'll tell you what, I'm not going back there. That happens. That happens. Or, let's look on the positive side of it. And you know, I'll tell you, the good old days. You know, I remember when, oh, we sang and it was just all hymns. And we had a piano and an organ. It was awesome. No, I'm not talking here. But you know, I'll tell you what. I have pastored a church that was in the transition from piano and organ. And when we put a drum set up on the... drum set in church? Well, I'll tell you what, they go putting drums in church. That's not a church. I'm not going. And because of doing a good thing, there are those. How much of the past can dominate us? You know, even in our Bible study, I think it is so awesome to be able to look into God's word. Is it not amazing what God has done? Isn't it amazing when Jesus in the flesh walked this earth? Wasn't it amazing the things that he did? I'm just amazed that he would stop for somebody blind, reach down, put a little mud on his eye. He can see. How he could feed thousands with a couple fish and loaves. It just amazes me how he could bring forgiveness and change to the life of a tramp who he met at a well the town tramp. I look and it's absolutely amazing. And you know, we look at those stories, we read those stories, and we study those stories. And we go to Sunday school class and we study them some more and we talk about those stories. And we learn the stories and we come to understand them better and better and better. We learn more about chapters and verses. And brothers and sisters, that's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. We're blessed to be able to do that. But how often does that become our life? We're talking about back here. That's a good thing. To talk, you know, when Jesus came upon a blind man, he gave him sight. When Jesus came upon a leper, you know what happened to that leper? The leprosy was gone and he could jump up and be with everybody. There was a time he went through life when he couldn't be with anybody because of his leprosy. That's all good stuff. It's worth talking about. It's worth studying. But the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today that he's just the same today. Amen. And sometimes, if I can say this right, we need to pull the curtain down. We have so often lived our lives in the past, how it used to be. And I'm coming here because I have faith and trust in Jesus who healed the sick and made the lame to walk and gave sight to the blind. He did that. And those stories, I'm going to hear another story about it. And next week he's going to tell about the leper who jumped up. That's awesome and that's wonderful. And that's good to know. It's good for you and me to memorize scripture and be able to tell what chapter and verse we can find this promise of God. But scripture tells us he's just the same today. And sometimes, church, I think we've lost sight of that. You know what ought to be happening now? People ought to be regaining sight. The lame ought to be walking. You know that old tax collecting, cheating, lying bum? He needs to get saved. He needs to have a new life. You see, in the today, you know what? That guy that lives down the street from you who you can't trust and you want to make sure your house is locked when you leave because, boy, oh boy, you know what? We can talk about, well, you know what? I'll tell you what, we're staying away from him. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let him. Wait a minute. Who are we? And whose business are we to be about? And what ought to be happening because we are about his business? That's who we are. We are the ones. Jesus said it in kind of a simple way. Jesus never denied that this was darkness. If Jesus wanted to sit down with the boys in the morning and have a cup of coffee and talk about how life is, Jesus would tell you, I'll tell you what, it's darkness. This life around us is darkness. I'll tell you what, people are cheating one another. You know what this company just did, and do you know what this executive officer just did, and you know what these employees did, and you know what that kid down the street, he just robbed the store, and you know what's going, good night. Do you hear the foul language coming out of the mouth of these young men? Good night. Darkness, darkness, darkness. If Jesus was standing here, I believe he would say, darkness, darkness. He'd make it clear. He'd tell us stuff that we don't even dream was going on. He doesn't deny it. But he said, guess what? In this darkness, You're light. You're light. You see, when you come into the neighborhood, when you go into the restaurant, when you go into the store, there's a difference. Because of the Christ in you, you're light. You know what? You're the one that brings hope where there seems to be no hope. You're the one that brings encouragement when it just seems to be hopeless. You're the one who takes their hands and feet and helps when nobody else will. You see, that's who we are. We're not denying darkness. Good night. I could preach 15 sermons right now on darkness, and I wouldn't even have to read the paper. That's true. Darkness, yeah. But we're light. That's who we are. That's who the church is. We don't pretend that there isn't darkness and wrong going on all around us. Yeah, we proclaim it. We point it out. It's good for us to, hey, you know what? This is wrong. This behavior is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. People acting this way, they're saying, you know what they're saying? Our kids can learn about this in school. And all this stuff going on. Yeah, whoa, 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 whoa. We make a difference. We're his voice. We're his hands and feet. We speak up. We let God and his love and his light be known in the dark world. We are paving new ground. I just so thought of that this morning when we were talking about what you're going to be doing with your parking lot. You know, you're going to be plowing up, putting in new concrete. And that's who we're called to be. We are in this world, but we're not of it. We're of Jesus Christ our Lord. His Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And when we are involved in a variety of circumstances or go to a variety of places or come in contact with a variety of people, we bring light. So Paul did. Who would have ever picked Paul? Look who Paul was. He murdered church people. He murdered those Jesus freaks. But the power of God's love and grace and mercy got a hold of him. And his life turned around. And then what did Paul become? He became light. He went in where there was all kinds of stuff going on, and he made a change. How many people around us are hurting? I want you to think, maybe just in your circle of knowledge, whether it's neighbors or family or whoever it might be. Think of those lives that you're aware of on the wrong road. And we could have a cup of coffee and talk about all the wrong stuff they're doing and how they're acting. And yeah, that's all true. But what do we do? In his spirit, we're first of all to love as he loved. What does that mean? Love as he loved? He loved that horrible tax collector. Lying, cheating, tax collector, lying. I'll tell you what, the description of a tax collector back in the first century, when it was written about in Luke chapter 18, read it, you know, the tax collector who went into church and the Pharisee who went in. The Pharisee had done everything right. You know, forget Pharisees have a bad name, but I'll tell you what, religiously? That Pharisee, I mean to tell you, he grew up going to the temple. That Pharisee grew up and man, oh man, he might have slipped out a bad word here and there, but boy, he was the one that didn't say bad words. He was the one who didn't steal, and he was the one who wouldn't take advantage of that girlfriend. He was the one who went to the temple and went to the temple and went to the temple and went to the temple. He was the one who kept the laws. He is the one who did all he possibly could to be righteous. Look in Luke chapter 18. You see, he goes to the temple. And who should show up but this tax collector? Look at the conversation that goes on. What is the Pharisee who is there at the temple looks at this tax collector who stands way off. And matter of fact, the scripture says he beats his chest and asks God's forgiveness. Well, this Pharisee, what in the wide world is he doing here? I've kept all the laws and I've tithed. I've fasted twice a week. Back in New Testament law, you only had to fast once a year. And he's, I've fasted twice a week. What's he doing here? God in his word said that that tax collector who humbled himself, cried out for forgiveness, was justified. The Pharisee wasn't. Isn't that interesting? If we're not careful, we can... Are we not thankful for the opportunity to invite Christ into our life? How good is it? I think you all can think back if you were going to give a testimony of coming to Christ, and I don't know, I would venture to say you probably had tears in your eyes and your heart's pounding and you were kneeling at an altar or something. Was that awesome or what? And then you learned about the Lord, and you know what? We can start changing our life and getting things right and stopping this and doing that, and you know, I'm getting pretty good. What's he doing here? I can kind of forget where I came from. I appreciate so much, again, the past and how we hang on it. And we need to face it. And there are some good things that we need to... I have some wonderful things in my life, in my past, some wonderful people I'll always be grateful for, and it's good to sit down once in a while. But I can't live there. And I'm excited to see what God has in store for you. You've got a past, and you shared. You've been through some difficult things. But you know what? You're on a new track. That's exciting. I'm excited to hear where your testimony's going and where your testimony's going and where your testimony's going. Isn't it exciting to stop and think where not only your personal testimony's going, but where's the testimony of this church going? If we are sold out to Christ, if we love Him, if we make sure that our life is warm to Him, our hearts are right with Him. Not that I'm keeping the rules or that I keep the altar placed where it should be, and this is straight, and make not if I kept all the rules, but I love the Lord, and when I sing to God be the glory, I mean it from my heart, to God be the glory. I love Him. I praise Him. I'm so thankful for Him and His love and His grace and His mercy. And we can never lose sight of that. 40 years later, after we're saved, we need to be grateful for that grace and mercy and depend on that. Not how I've changed my life. Whoop-de-doo on how we've changed our life. It's a good thing. It's an amazing testimony when Jesus changes our life. But we better not ever forget that it's His grace that has changed our life and not our power. And so, as we focus on Him, as we continue to focus on Him, and as we can appreciate the past, recognize mistakes, be thankful for the blessings. What did Paul say? Forgetting what lies behind. Of all people, you know what Paul did for Jesus? Paul was beaten for Jesus. Paul was shipwrecked for Jesus. Paul starved for Jesus. Paul witnessed and got spit at for Jesus. What did he say? What did he say in Philippians? Forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting all of those accomplishments. Forgetting what I went through. I'm pressing on for more. And that's who we need to be as individuals. That's who we need to be as a church. Celebrating all that God has done. But coming, do we come through those doors on Sunday morning with an anticipation? What's God going to do? How's He going to change a life? How's He going to bless? How's He going to direct us? How's He going to call me? What's going to happen today? And it will, as we anticipate. So brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, I'm so blessed in my heart to be able to come and share with you. But it's the challenge. Let's be the people of God, alive for Him today, on fire for Him today, stepping out for Him today, anointing and praying for people today, sharing the good news, telling others today, making a difference today. We serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. And I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, and I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. Let's never lose sight of that, church. We serve a risen, alive, here Savior. God, thank You for just the opportunity to worship this day. And Lord, we pause to thank You for all You've done. We celebrate the lives You have touched, the differences You have made, the healing You have done, God. But Lord, we also, with joy in our heart, anticipate, God, what are You going to do? Whose life are You going to change? Who are You going to call next? Have Your wonderful way, and please use each of us in Your plan. But God, use this church together in Your plan. And may we see You work in awesome ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand, please?